What's going down, podcast listener? Welcome back to the Symbiosis Now podcast. I'm Tyler Colombaro, and I'm the host of the show. And on this show, we like to have a good conversation. Every episode, guaranteed. All in hopes of inspiring you to get out there and have your own open conversations with a friend, a family member, or maybe even your enemy. Each episode, we star a special guest where we have an in-depth, action-packed, often intellectual, spiritual, practically psychedelic, and all-inclusive types of conversation. And we have a good fucking time with it. So folks, you can find us online. We're the Symbiosis Now Network, where there's some links to the podcasts, plural podcasts, because we have a couple others underneath the network blanket. And without further ado, let us voyage into the yonder of conversation with our very special guest on the Symbiosis Now podcast. Marcus Areola, what's up, big dog?
What's up, big dog?
The Bro Cheech.
Bro Cheech and Munga.
Fresh off of Bishop Summit Peak. Straight out of Reedley College's Wildland Firefighters classroom itself. He just got out an hour ago. He may be also fresh off a Wake House beer. We don't know to be certain.
Only the best.
Only the best for the best, my man. So, Marcus Areola, we've been trying to get you on the show for a while, bro. And for those that don't know, we work together over at the Wake House. We slaughtered it. We kill it. We fucking murder that shit. And I shouldn't even say that because it sounds so wrong. But man, we work hard over there. And we became traumatized together and bonded through that trauma. And we're brothers forever because of it. But he's about to go do something else that's like top tier trauma bonding. Like it's like the next level of trauma bonding. And that is fighting wildland fire. And boy, am I excited for you and nervous for you. But, bro, you're heading out within weeks from now.
Yeah, on Monday. Monday.
He's going to begin his journey. The journey begins.
I was thinking about it earlier, like on the way home. I was like, even though I've known you for such a short amount of time, I feel like I've known you for way longer, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like down the street from my grandparents' house. Pretty crazy.
That is crazy, bro. It's crazy. Hey, so like, yeah, that one night, bro, me and my wife are walking my dog, and we're just walking and talking. It was a crazy night at the Wake House, and then we're walking, and then I see this fool fucking Marcus parked right there and goes, "What's up?" And I'm like, "What the fuck? Why are you right here down the street from my house?" And he's like, "My grandparents live here. I sleep here sometimes." I was like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah, dude.
Small world.
Crazy. Small world.
Hey, so you're going to go fight wildfire and shit, though, big dog. Where the fuck are you going, man?
I got hired in the Angeles National Forest, you know, First Forest Service. Going to be at Little Tahunga Station. I was going to get hired on their hotshot crew, but whatever happened, there's these dudes that didn't leave. But, yeah, I'm going to start off in an engine. Got hired on as a permanent. So it should be fun. I'm excited. Get out there, you know.
Little Tahunga, what?
Tahunga? Little Tahunga, yeah.
Hey, that's what's up, big dog.
It's in the Angeles. It's right outside Burbank. It's pretty cool.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and those foothills right there.
Bro.
Yeah, it's going to be the hot spot this summer, you know. All those, the snow up in the mountains, it's not going to melt in time, you know. So it's all that dry grass down there that's going to light up first.
Oh, I see where you're located. In fact, you're right. You're right where I like a valley. Like you're like around the forest, but you're like
those grasslands along the grapevine and stuff.
It's in Santa Clarita, bro. You're gonna be in Santa Clarita. Dang, ladies out there, Santa Clarita. This is Marcus Areola. If you didn't know, Areola stands for nipple, and I don't know. Doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with the conversation. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Mr. Nips?
Mr. Marcus Nips, as they call him. Bro, this is epic shit right here. Little Tahunga, bro. You're going to be a Little Tahunga hotshot, doggy.
Hell yeah.
That is some wild shit, bro. So are you excited?
Yeah, dude. I'm excited. I mean, you can only prepare so much, you know? Like, you do all the workouts, you do all this stuff, but at the end of the day, you still don't know what to expect, you know? The dynamics of the crew and like, you don't know the type of people you're going to work with, so it's the only thing I'm kind of worried about, but, you know, there's no other better way just to dive in, you know?
Fuck yeah.
Get after it.
Yeah, dude, get your hands dirty immediately. That's what's up, bro. Hey, so, like, when you're over here at Reedley College and you're just killing the game, like I said at the top, bro, fucking murdering it over there. I shouldn't even say that. But dropping you're fucking hammers. Killing it, dropping hammers, bro. Dropping trees. Dropping bombs, you know? You're fucking, when you're killing it over there, bro, what have you learned? You know, you take these wildlife classes, right? You take these wildland fire training courses. You're over here, like, doing PT and shit every day. Like, what did you learn that you think you're, like, you didn't know before this class? I'm sure you've learned a lot.
I mean, pretty much everything, like, learning how to, one of the first things you learn how to do is, like, sharpen your tools, take weather, and, you know, reading maps, reading a compass, like, all that fun stuff. But, like, I think the biggest thing you can take away from, like, the teachers and the program is just, like, communication and being open-minded and being, just a good learner, bro. You always want to be learning and just be open-minded. But, yeah, dude, it's awesome. It's an awesome program. Like, it's definitely one of a kind. Like, I don't see any other program around Valley or even like the whole state, you know, like these teachers are pretty hardcore. Like they'll get after you, but they'll also mentor you and tell you how to tie your shoes and how to wipe your ass, you know. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Right now we're just finishing up finals and stuff, so we're doing like fire shelters, maps, and then how to program the radio with like frequencies and stuff like that. Receiving and transmitting frequencies. It's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Fun stuff.
Dude, that's what's up. That sounds like some epic shit. And honestly, yeah. I've been admiring this program you speak of from a distance. I mean, I go to Reedley College. I'm a plant science guy. I've been taking some natural resources courses.
Dude, I want you to just say, like, fuck it, I'm do it. It's amazing, but, like, you have a kid now, but still, like, it's amazing. Like, there's been dudes from the national park that come, or like the Forest Service that come, and they'll take classes. They'll put on classes, my teacher will. So it'll be like crew boss training or whatever. And they're like kind of amazed by our program. Like, they're like, dude, you guys have all this? We're like, yeah, we just got brand new buggies. We got all this equipment, skid steers, like all that fun stuff. And they're like blown away. They're like, dude, this is like, if I was your, like, I wish I was young again, you know? I would have taken this program.
Right, dude. Seriously. And then you got some badass instructors, like you said. There's some legend. Yeah. There's some legends walking around over there in college.
Smoke Jumper. Scutia. He's a veteran. And then Kramer's. He's my teacher. He's the pretty newest one. But he was on Springville Hot Shots. He's a captain.
Oh, pretty shit. Bad dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro, that's what's up. What about Cowboy Steve? Is he out there with you?
Steve. Yeah. He's the man, dude.
Shout out.
He's always listening to some 50 Cent or some Nirvana or something in the buggies.
Bro, he's the coolest motherfucker around. Straight up. Yeah. Shout out to you, Steve. Steve Garcia. Cowboy Steve, as they refer to him in some cultures and dialects, not all, but good man. Your fucking other teachers are badass as fuck. I know Kayla Joe is killing it out there. She's Kayla Rodriguez, Miss Rodriguez out there killing it. Straight up student from Reedley College, went to Humboldt, then came back down and handling the teachership, the fucking professor tude. Nah, I don't know what the lingo is, bro, when they get up high up in their ranks.
She was on a Hot Shot crew too, wasn't she?
I don't know her life, and I feel like I shouldn't even be speaking on it, but she's a badass. That's all I'm saying. And so is Louis Long, the man, the myth, the legend. You know, dude, we're talking about people that built this program. We're talking about older guys, Kent Kenny. We'll talk about fucking Robert Cannell. These guys that, like, built this program that you took and had a hand in kind of influencing, you could say, the next and the next and the next for it to eventually become this program. This natural resource wildlife fire whole thing is really epic, honestly, for being a junior college, like you said. And I don't think that's just the state, bro. I kind of think it's a nationwide thing because there's not a lot of it, surprisingly, you know?
Yeah, there's been guys coming from, like, across the nation, man, just to take these classes.
Which is just like most people would be like, why would you come there to, you know, to Reedley, California?
Yeah, but then, like, we're so lucky we got, like, the sequoias right in our backyard, you know? We
exactly.
go up to Sequoia Lake almost every week, you know?
And you make the right connections over time with the right people, you know, these legends. And then they made a beautiful program, bro, and finally got the funding, man, the money. Where's the money? Yeah. That's what we need to make shit happen around here, folks. You know what's so sad is you and I both grew up in a time where funding was so cut in the educational sector, bro, to where we missed out on hella shit. And finally now, yeah, we're paying out the ass our taxes and shit, but at least that money's going somewhere finally. They'd be building pools and schools and cool shit, so, and building programs like this, so that's what's up.
Yeah. I hope they stick around, though. I hope they're passed down in good hands, though, you know?
Yeah.
But
for
until
sure.
then, yeah, these programs are awesome, you know?
Well, when you're out here learning from these programs and whatnot, did you learn about prescribed fire?
Absolutely.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah. Fire management. Or fuels management, sorry. Fuels management. Yeah, man. What do you want to know?
Well, I just want to talk about it. I want the listener to know more about it and see how fucking cool this shit is. Because the reality is with so much debris on the ground that's dead from drought years, whatever, and trees that just died, fell down, whatever, they become fuel for fire. Fire loves to eat them some fucking dead brush and some dead trees, bro, if we didn't notice. Yeah. It devours it fast. And when we hear about the California wildfires, that's what we're talking about's happening. And if you could go in there and kind of strategically burn that shit without letting the whole thing burn down, then, you know, you might walk away without letting half of it burn down. And you're cleaning up fuels and you're managing the situation, i.e. fuels management. But, like, from your perspective, what the fuck, like, what did I miss? What did you learn from it?
You know, like, honestly, a big thing that I learned was pretty eye-opening was that, like, you know, you hear, like, oh, protect our forests and all this stuff and keep the trees, but, like, just because a forest is lush and green and has a ton of trees doesn't mean it's healthy, you know? Like, before, in the 1800s, like, we learned, John Muir, he wrote about it in a book, that, like, when he came to the West, when he was on his horse, he was, like, full gallop because the forest floor was so empty. It was just singular trees everywhere. So that's why we get these giant sequoias, because before, all these nutrients were only spread out to 10 trees in like an acre, you know?
Right.
But now everything's covered in these little shrubs, these little trees that normally wouldn't be there if fire naturally swept through them, you know? So now with fuels management, basically what crews and basically the Forest Service or National Parks will do is like, they'll go out there and they'll thin out these forests and put them into burn piles. We actually got our program actually got allowed to go with Seki Fire, Sequoia Kings. And we went out there and burned a couple of piles, but it's cool to see that like you actually are making a difference, like because you're helping the forest be healthier. Like you're allowing these sequoias more nutrients, allowing them to be like way bigger. And just for years to come, just insane trees.
Insane trees, bro. That's what's up. Well, I mean, I don't know. I feel like the reality is an ecosystem is just that. It's an ecosystem. And sometimes that means, I guess you could say fire is supposed to burn through it naturally. But if it doesn't, and we want to live around it, and we give a fuck about what we have left that we haven't bulldozed and burned to the ground already to build houses on or to farm or whatever we do as humans, when those fires come, like, dude, they're going to fuck up the areas where we can't even get to half the time. And it's going to be a roaring fire, hence the term wildland fire. And it not being really even accessible at certain times other than by, like, helicopter or fucking certain shit. And, like, if we could manage it before it got to that point, right, then we wouldn't have that situation because we'd be purposefully burning shit that needs to be burned anyways, but it won't catch everything on fire. And I think that re-saying that in the way that you described it, the way I describe it, I think it's really important for people to know because, like growing up, we always thought, like, you tree-hugger shit, like, Smokey the Bear is like, nah, all fires are bad no matter what, fucking poo-poo fire. Like, but no, like, actually burning some of that stuff is a great idea. It's just we have to do it methodically. We have to do it strategically. Yeah. You know, we can't just fucking let it all burn because it'll be so roaring we won't ever shut it down. And there's power lines and that's part of the reason why some of these start, obviously, too. But, like, there's power lines back there. There's access. There's just – I think we're so disconnected in the modern time where we forget, like – we used to, like, literally hike over these hills to get to the other side. Like, you know, you go over passes and through thick mountain terrain to live your life. Like, that's just how people even came here from the east to the west when everyone was, like, frontierizing the country, just, you know, squandering their bullshit. But along the way, those fires, man, would get out of control and they would fucking just die and people would run. And before that, even the natives would purposefully light certain fires, apparently. And they would, they'd have to like walk down where the water was, like down creeks and streams to get down to lower land where there's less fires, you know?
Yeah. And like some trees too, I don't have a degree in forestry, but some trees require fire to spread new seeds, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Yeah, like their little seeds need to be scarified. And the way that they're scarified is via fire. Yeah, that's pretty crazy to think. Because I remember in one of the classes, the horticulture classes I took, like, we took some fucking big old seed and we rubbed it up against sandpaper and said that it had to be roughed up on the exterior so it was scarified or whatever, and then it would germinate better. But that wasn't always the case. Every seed has a different factor that it likes or needs or desires more. But wildfire being a factor is pretty fucking wild.
Yeah, and like the crazy thing with these like fuel management programs, with like the Forest Service and National Park, they're so behind. Like the problem that is there is like so crazy. Like you have a 20-man crew, 25-man crew, and you're out there mechanically thinning. So that's like you have bulldozers, chainsaws, and you're cleaning up the forest and putting them in piles. But then most of these piles aren't burned for 5 years, 10 years. So they're just sitting there. Bro. And like you're just constantly in this rotation of thinning, you move on, then you move on, you move on. And then 10 years later, then you go back and burn. But by then, it's regrown over, you know?
Bro, it's so stupid, bro. Like, I know because I've went camping many a places, and one place is off the top of my head is Big Meadows, which is under fucking way too much amazing amount of snow right now. But in the summertime, bro, like, you see all these piles. They look like little fucking, like, how you, little teepees, but how you start a fucking bonfire. Like, that's how you light a fire, dog. Yeah. So I think that, like, it's just sad because it probably just all goes back to funding. Really, but also sometimes you gotta wonder, was there a plan to like purposely fuck shit up sometimes? No, I don't think so, but you gotta wonder why the fuck they would send people out there to do little fucking like kindling fire starters out in the middle of the forest, almost like in case they had to burn it down, that it was a possibility, it was very likely. It just doesn't make sense, but it does when you think about it full spectrum, not so conspiracy brain, like, and just be like, oh, well, they didn't have the funding to follow up and either burn them or chip them or whatever because resources were limited. Maybe the season ended. They had to shift into a different gear. It got fucking lost, and everyone was just like, oh, we'll get back to that. We'll get to that. We'll eventually get to that. But then a fucking huge fire starts, and you have just like endless kindling. It would just burn it all fucking down, dude.
Yeah, that's you're so true. Like, it all comes down to resources. Like, there should be I think there should be a whole, like, department or program dedicated to these field management programs, but of course, it all comes down to funding and resources, and, you know, because the people cleaning up these forests are, like, hotshot crews, they're engine crews, you know, and, like, they're not good, that's not their priority is fire, you know?
Yeah.
So, and then also when they do these prescribed burns, then sometimes it burns over and then you have your own wildfire, you know?
Right. Accidents do happen.
Yeah. There was just one in San Bernardino, actually. Controlled burn, I guess, that kind of went a little crazy. But I think they have it, like, 40% contained or something from what I saw, but...
Bro, it's so wild. In California, we just had some crazy-ass fucking rains, apparently, like, you know, put a bunch of precipitation. And then now, it doesn't fucking matter how much we got. It's already flowed through the watershed, kind of down, percolated into the ground. It's going through streams and blah, blah, blah. There's snow melting still for sure. But, like, those areas where it's not a high enough elevation for there to be snow... Those parts, bro, they're already dead. They're drying out so fucking fast, bro. I'll tell you, proof in the city is just on my driveway. There's fucking a couple weeds that just in a matter of days because it got hot in the last week, they're fucking fried, dog. They're done. They got nothing left for them to suck up and utilize anymore, and they're going to die. And so a lot of the grasses, the non-native grasses, I think handle a little better, but even then, a lot of those grasses, they fucking die, bro. Our weeds, they fucking die because there's no moisture in the ground and the humidity in the air is low. So therefore, there's just a high likelihood of fucking fire. If someone threw a cigarette butt out their window driving through some brush, even, it's all bad. And I seen someone do that the other day, and I don't chase people. I'm a Columbaro, and we don't fucking chase people in cars. But the reality is I wanted to chase people when they throw a fucking cigarette butt out the window. And there's, like, possibility of, like, we're in the country, bro. Or out in not where there's farmland anymore. It's just wild grasses and shit. Like, up towards Pine Flat and stuff. It's like, what the fuck are you doing, bro? Like, are you tripping balls? But then they're like, oh, whatever. You know, I like to smoke.
Ignorance is bliss, yeah.
And trust me, dude, I like to smoke a bleezy, a bowl every once in a wheezy, you know? But, dude... I'm not going to fucking blow it out right here next to some fucking kindling and just be like, oh, what a trip. There's a fire. Like, what the fuck? Yeah. Like,
and most of, like, the society is just so unaware of these problems, you know? It's, like, it's serious problems that, like, aren't talked about, you know?
Well, I think recently, like, in 2020 when we had the huge-ass fires that were local to, like, the Fresno County and, like, the all of California... You could see it on the entire West Coast. You could see it across the ocean. You could see it towards the middle of the country, off to the East Coast, in their air quality. They noticed it. Like, it was that big of a deal. It made waves. It made ripples. Yeah. And it was so epic that the climate that's not just California's climate, there's not a glass case around California that protects us from the emissions from that godforsaken Nevada over there or whatever with no laws on catalytic converters and whatever. Like, it doesn't work like that. The fucking air flows wherever the fuck it flows, and everyone saw it. And it was really kind of a wake-up call to, like, say, hey, dude, the drought in the West is no joke. And it's just a testament to it. But it also is a testament to poor fuel management. And I think that it goes back to, it sounds dumb, but utilizing some of this wood. What if we could truck it all out of there and have a huge thing that, like, converts that fucking heat into energy or something like they do with coal? I don't fucking know if they're going to burn it anyways, like, and they don't know what to do with it. And then they want to create jobs and all this shit. Dude, yeah, we could go on and on and on. But the reality is that someone has to be behind it, fund it, and it be a legitimate thing. And until people think it's super serious, I don't think most people will. It's kind of like water. Like, I feel like people talk about water. You got a ton of guys that know how to drill wells and stuff. But, like, at the end of the day, do we really know what's best for the long-term quality and quantity of our water supply? Nah, we don't fucking know. We're not doing a good job at it. No one's really, really, really thinking but deep, deep and ahead about it like that, you know, sadly. In a governmental position, I mean, or in a position to make a fucking difference. And that's, like, everything. Water's everything, let alone the way that forests burn down, you know, let alone the amount of toilet paper we have for the next pandemic. You know, we don't think ahead for shit, especially when it's the things that are the most important, like water. That is the most important thing. And we don't really, I don't think good enough and have a good enough system in place. If these droughts continue, why do we send all our water down to LA? What will happen to the northern climate if there's no water up there? And it's all sent down south, and then there's not enough down there either. Then we all just fucking die of dehydration or what? Like, we're just going to do nothing? We're just going to stand around and be like, fuck, you know? I guess we'll just start, I don't know, drinking fucking juice only. I don't fucking know. Like, but the reality is like, water's so critical for so many things we do and we are in the ecosystem itself, that it has to kind of be in certain places at the right time. And where it's not, there'll be either deserted conditions where it's really hard to live there, or there'll be like crazy fire and shit. You know, it's just one or the other. It's almost like the forest being in such droughted conditions, it could possibly become like a desert in the next millennia if everything burns down and everything's just dry and there's just such a drought. There's no more water in anything anymore. It could become high desert. You know, and not be so loaded with trees and have cacti and fucking weird shit, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
The way that the ecosystem and the climate really does change over time, we don't even know. You know, it's geological time frames we're talking about here. And fire plays a serious fucking role in that. And for you to work in that is super epic, bro. It expands beyond time. It's a super, like, hippie-ass journey that you're going on, even though it's not hippie. It's just that you care and that you, like, really pay attention to the ecosystem. That's so important, bro. What's going down, podcast listener? I imagine that you drive a car when you're out and aboutin'. You might even have a motorcycle, per se. And I think that most people that live in the society we live in have a home of some sort. On those things, do you have insurance? That is my question to you. And if you do not, it seems like it's time to get you some. What are you doing out there listening to a podcast? Because if you are, at the same time simultaneously, you could be calling Alfredo Vargas over at Academy West Insurance to provide you with top-notch service. Give him a call at 559-638-3800. Do you not have a license? That doesn't seem to be a problem. He can set you up. Do I know how? I have no idea, but he can set you up. He claims to know. Are you anything like me? And when you were younger, got into some trouble, had a DUI, and needed an SR-22 insurance? Maybe? I hope not. But if you do, Alfredo Vargas over at Academy West Insurance can set you up with the free SR-22. You can find Alfredo looking sharp in the suit on 998 North Manning Avenue in Reedley, California, or you can give him a jingle down there at the shop at 559-638-3800. Be sure to tell him that you heard about him on the Symbiosis Now podcast, and he will set you up ASAP with all your insuring needs. Thank you, Alfredo, for sponsoring the podcast, and now let's get back to the show, folks. Big dog, I feel like you're an artsy guy, you know?
Yeah, and like, at heart I am, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, you think you live through, like, an artsy lens? Do you live, like, a philosophy through this artsy way to look at life?
I think maybe, yeah, maybe. I don't know about more now. I feel like, I don't know, just you're in, like, the hustle mode, like, you're trying to get where you want to go, but, like, also, it did take a while, you know, to, like, not to sound like a hippie, but just, like, appreciate everything, look around every once in a while, and, like, appreciating the struggle and the things around you, and, you know, stuff of that nature, I guess.
Yes, we like the sound of hippie things here. Slater, you fucking hippie, give me drugs, man. Fucking dazed and confused. Dude, no, I feel you, man. I think that there's a lot to go hard for in life and work for, but there's certain, like, elements that we have to take in. Like, if we're just too busy working hard and we never, like, look up and be like, oh, shit, this is cool, like, then it's just all like hell. That's all it ever will be. But with those little moments of heaven in between, it is now not heaven or hell. It's life, you know?
Yeah. I see you out there too. You're working pretty hard. You remind me of my dad a lot, honestly. Just like
you heard it here, folks.
Getting after it, bro.
I'm daddy. That's what's up, big dog.
You're up providing, dude. I love that shit, dude. It's inspiring, you know? Like, to see people are out there not slacking off, like, just getting after, you know? That's all, everything ever comes down to is, like, just trying, just being present, you know?
Yeah.
No matter what.
Yeah. I hear you, though. I liked what you posted the other day. You were posting some wild shit about, like, doesn't matter how fucking hard it is. Doesn't matter how hard it hurts. You just got to fucking do it. So just go hard. So you posted some shit like that.
Yeah.
And it's you know, like, maybe not every moment of every day of our existence we feel that way or could feel that way. But it is something that we do often, I think, as a human in the modern time, think about and realize, dude, it's hard to be what we need to be and what we're called to be. Financially is another aspect. I think that's what really most people feel the pressure. But spiritually, whatever that means, morally, wherever our character is meant to be built upon, these things are really fucking important to us. And like, if we just willy-nilly live our life, sometimes we're not finding purpose. So sometimes we have to work hard, ironically, but also like have a purpose for why we're working so fucking hard. Not just to work hard, just to be a slave. Like, you know, be like, I got to accomplish this goal and I still have to be what I'm called to be, even if it doesn't pay out, even if it's fucking a side quest or whatever until I get there. It's part of it, you know?
Yeah, it's all part of the journey, you know? It makes you who you are. Like, all this little, like, bullshit you kind of go through, it's just all part of the journey, all part of your story, you know? Everything's for a reason. You go through all these trials and successes and failures, but it sounds dumb and life's hard, but it's all worth it, you know? It's all worth it in the end.
I like to think that. And even if it isn't, what the fuck were we doing then? You know?
Yeah.
But now, dude, like, I feel like if we're getting super deep about it, the reality is I'm just going to ask you straight up, bro. You seen aliens? You seen UFOs? Like, you believe in this shit? What's up? Like, I don't say I don't. I want to. And I kind of think I do because I feel like I've seen some shit. I felt some shit. I had some weird dreams. I had some weird shit go down to me that I've talked about on this podcast. But not everyone that I have on is like
your podcast last night.
Not everyone that's come on is like, yes. Most of the time people are like, no, they don't believe or they just. They're not convinced, you know what I mean? I'm not convinced. I'm not here to convince anyone. I just like asking because it's like, what do you think? What is the consensus out there? Because I'm over here like, nah, I don't think it's that much of a game changer. But then people all of a sudden get all worked up about it. And they start talking about the government found out that there are UFOs and all this stuff. And then it was a distraction for a couple weeks about a month ago. And then we don't talk about it anymore. It's like, yo, but was that real? Or are we just like putting it under the rug? Or was that just to distract us? Or was that kind of real? Like, I never fucking know. But I know what I've seen. I know what I felt. And I've heard some convincing ass stories. Whether they're true or not, I don't care. They convinced me. But I don't know what it is that I believe. But do you?
I mean, aliens, I don't like, I do have like, I feel like I have like, I think that they're, at one point was like this type of entity that might have been here before us that had all this high-tech shit and it went south, you know, just like, it's like a pattern, you know, like how we're making all the right mistakes, you know, so like it might have been the same with like all this, this pyramids and like who built the pyramids, there's no way, like, I feel like there's this other civilization that was here before us, and we're making all the same mistakes. And I saw a thing too that like monkeys and stuff, they're like in their Stone Age right now. They're learning how to use tools and all this crazy stuff, you know.
And then, so dude, like the next thing, they're gonna make a fucking monkey phone. They're gonna make an iPhone, but it's gonna be like it's gonna be like oddly different. It's gonna be like Babu phone. Or something like that, baboon phone or some shit. And it's got, it looks like butt cheeks, like big red baboon butt cheeks. And you hold it in the palms of your hands. Yeah. Yeah.
But, no.
But yeah, bro, I've said that before too. Like, what the fuck? What if there's a human race that's like way smarter than us? How we be over here sending dick-shaped rockets to space and shit with Jeff Bezos that we funded essentially. But like a million years ago, we were like finally making stone tools and we're like, dude, I'm going to kill me a woolly mammoth. But now you got these monkeys out there that are like, I'm making me a stone tool. I'm going to kill me a fucking, I don't know, antelope or some shit. Like, yeah. That is very comparable. And yes, it's a long way down the road, but imagine if there was some species that was like us to the monkey now, but ahead of us. We're the monkey. Okay, you picture what I'm saying. We're the monkey that's behind us, but like, imagine there's another type of human that's ahead of us, millennia. Like, evolutionarily, that's what I'm referring to when I say ahead of us.
Just picture yourself being a monkey and just thinking about, like, well, there's this device where you can talk to someone through it, like, and have a conversation. Like, that's the same thing where it's like we think about these people before us, and they're like, there's no way.
Yeah, dude, they'd be like, they'd already been doing sign language for more. They'd be like, more. Like, they'd already learn. Yeah, dude. And we took us a very fucking long time to get here, evolutionarily, like the way our brain was formed, apparently. But I don't know what the fuck to believe sometimes, because if it's been that long, then what do we know? If we don't know anything about our past, we say that we've only been around for like 10,000 years or less or whatever, like... That's just like improbable, like the way that things have formed and the way that weathering on this earth fucking goes. It's fucking crazy. So what does that mean for us then? Like, if there was an alien race ahead of us that's very similar to us, like they're somehow genetically related to us, but they became very elusive. They know how to hide from us and manipulate us because we're dumb. And now they can have whatever they want. You know, but I don't know how to believe that, because what would they look like? Where would they be? Or did they leave us behind because they were like, yo, a flood's coming or some shit. We got to get out of here and then we'll come back. But when they left, it's like Inception or whatever. Or what's that movie? Interstellar, bro, with Matthew McConaughey. Hey. Fucking. Dude, they went out to space and like a day there's like 70 years back home. It's like, what the fuck, bro? You can't be there for more than an hour. You're gonna miss 20 years of your daughter's life, like, you know what I mean, in the movie or whatever. So it's like, dude, like, if it's really like that, you could say that maybe there is like a human type creature that left the planet, left most of us behind, and was like, we'll come check on them in a couple days. But their days, time wise the way time and space like interconnect, whatever, it's been like millions of years here. And one day they just pop back and boop. And they're like, what the fuck? Like, this isn't the same at all what I had imagined it to be. Some Rick and Morty type shit, maybe. Yeah. You know, that's a thing they call deism. I feel like this idea that we're talking about is like related to the notion of deism, where like God was like kind of just passing through and he just like created this like petri dish planet and made it and set everything into motion. And then just like was like, all right, that's one petri dish. Let me make another one. Like, and so we're just an experiment, expanding out and growing and becoming some super organism. And one day he'll come and peep, or maybe he doesn't even care. Maybe he moved on. This experiment is fucking garbage, you know?
Yeah.
And so there's no purpose. So it kind of, the reason why I think a lot of people don't like to think about life like that is because, or their existence like that, is because it's depressing, kind of. It means that, like, there's no purpose, kind of, to your life. Yeah. But I don't know if that would be the case either. There's still a purpose. I know I'm getting out in the weeds here, but it's just so wild to think about that there could be some kind of creator, you know. I don't even know if that's real. I like to say that it's just my imagination. But even if it is, it makes me feel better to believe that there is. But if there isn't, I can still cope with that. It's still beautiful. It's not depressing, you know, to think that there's nothing, there's no reason or rhyme anymore. Ecosystems just are, and what we have to pay attention to the environment around us and the ecosystem which we're in for it to make sense. And if we don't do that, then we're never going to be like what we need to be, you know. But we could also think that, you know, no, we have to listen to God, and I hear a voice in my head and it says kill all the gays and the Jews, and, you know, like, what the fuck is going on? Like, dude, that took over the world for fucking thousands of years, And like, we could say we went in the right direction, we went in the wrong direction. I don't fucking know, but we're doing something different now. Now we're going to war again, you know, in a weird way. And so, like, I don't even know what to believe. Human's quest is a really strange one, whatever quest we're on, you know?
Yeah.
But so you're basically saying that you have not made contact with aliens?
I have not.
Well,
I hope to be abducted one day.
Well, when you do out there in the wilderness, because you're gonna be hot shotting it up, sleeping in a fucking in a burnt tree or some shit, you know. Tell them the Symbiosis Now Network sent you and was like, "Hey, I have a few questions. Nothing crazy. If you're down to come on this podcast, the first question, and then I'll write some other ones down and I'll let you know, big dog." But you gotta let them know. No, yeah. You gotta let us know, bro. If you see something out there, man.
I know, dude. I was listening to that episode with Rodriguez. You guys were talking about that seeing stuff out in the wilderness.
Yeah, the skinwalker, bro.
The skinwalker.
Yeah, bro. You guys got to check that one out. Fucking, I don't know what episode it is, but it's Adam Rodriguez. It's like a couple months ago. And it fucking the skinwalker, dude. Sketch.
Yeah, dude. I haven't really seen anything like that. Maybe just a couple times. Not a couple, but honestly, one time I was in this little town. I don't know if you heard of Volcano, California.
Volcano, California. Yeah. No, I have not, but I'm looking it up as you talk about it.
I was with the fam, and it's this little tiny town. From what I remember, maybe it's the wrong name, but I think it's called Volcano. But there's a little cemetery right there, and we're my mom's ex. He's a CEO. He's a little, like, he just wanted to go explore, so we're out there in the dark. And then I turn around and I see this white shit. It was like 7 foot tall, and it was just like a blur. And I just I thought it was a deer, but it was just like the way it like leaped like 10 feet and it was like disappeared into the darkness. I was like, that is not a deer. I've seen a deer. Like, I don't know. That was something crazy. That was probably the only thing I've ever seen.
Like Jeepers Creepers type shit?
I don't know, dude. It was crazy. Skinwalker. Telling you.
Bro, so like it looked like a...
It was just crazy. Like, it was like a little cemetery, and there's like these pretty low trees. And like, I just remember like looking to my right, and I just see this like white blur, and just like, it was like a blur, but like I swore I saw like legs, but it was like a blur with legs, and it just like shifted and not shifted, but like it looked like it like ran away, like jumped and ran away. It was crazy. That's the only thing I've ever seen though.
I bet you there's other things. You just fucking forget them because they're too traumatizing. You have to put it behind you, bro. No, no, I don't know.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Bro, I don't believe. I feel like I've seen it, or I agree.
Do you have
like,
any unexplained shit?
Yeah, though, for sure, bro. I remember being a kid and, like, seeing weird shit in the hallway, walk by the hallway and be like, yo, what the fuck was that? Like, right? And then, so I'd let it go, and then years go by, but it'd be in the back of my fucking mind. Like, what is that, right? But then as I got older, I realized, nah, dude, I'm just tripping, I think. And then you would hang out with your friends, and I lived in the fucking foothills. So we, of course, would go walk around in the middle of the night with nothing to do. We would just be walking around, and we would see, dude, or hear some wild shit. And I remember one night, Anthony Garcia would testimony to this shit, too, who was just on the podcast last week, a couple weeks ago. And we saw what we would call Slender Man, right? Like, I think they made a movie about it or some shit, but we would call it Slender Man. But it was this tall, lanky, shadowy figure that would, like, just out of nowhere walk by the scene. Like, we'd be out there somewhere and we'd just see it walking up the side of the hill and then just kind of disappear behind the rocks, and we're like, what the fuck was that? Like, and so looking back as a kid, it's like, was I just kind of fucked up and just wanted to go along with the lie, or did I really see that, you know? And I'm pretty fucking sure I really seen that. And I remember places specifically, there were areas where there was more of this type of activity. So we had coyotes like a mofo, and they would, and they'd, howl. Like, it'd sound crazy in the middle of the night. It still happens up there, but, like, I don't live up there anymore. but they howl like a motherfucker in Wonder Valley, California. And it's cool, but it's kind of creepy. If you don't, you never been around coyotes, I guess you could be like, dang, what are those, wolves? Like, it's like, no, they're coyotes, but they all light up at night, bro. And it's some wild noises. And you could almost say that hearing, ow, 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 it kind of could sound like Native Americans going, oh, and all this crazy shit, right? Not to be stereotypical. I'm just saying, like, it, you know, we grew up in an area, this area I'm talking about, Wonder Valley, where Native Americans, in fact, did roam. Definitely went up and down Mill Creek. There is evidence all along Mill Creek, up and down Mill Creek. It's a fact. I don't know what tribes. I imagine Yokut and certain other ones for sure. But the reality is it was a very heavily traveled area before the Pine Flat Dam was put in and stuff. There'd be a little bit different watershed over there on that side of the watershed. The point is the Native Americans would travel up and down the ship pre-white man for sure. Like, you know, that long ago, and then probably up until white man. Fucking, I don't know. The gold rush. I don't fucking know when. Okay. But, like, the point is there's definitely evidence. And often with Native people, it seems there's this consensus that there's, like, burial grounds. And if you fuck with the burial ground, like, there you'll be haunted and shit. Like, you know what I mean? Or if you find an artifact and you don't do the right thing and you go steal it and, like, put it in the same drawer where you keep your dirty porno magazines, like, you're going to hell, like, and you're gonna be haunted forever until you put it back. Like, I don't fucking know, but like, I don't know if I believe that, but
dude,
the native thing, dude, we would hear it, dude, we would hear the oh. And there was one time where me and Allison were out there. Now this is when I was like 18 years old, wearing my old Mazda B2500 truck, bro. We're out there backed into what we would call Indian Rock. We would call it Indian Rock because the rock right next to Mill Creek had little holes, a bunch of like 8 or 9 holes that are like 7-8 inches deep that were grind holes from when they would grind down acorns and certain shit to make food along the creek bed and shit. And it was, it's not from water. They're for sure from humans crushing things down into these holes.
Making medicines.
Yeah, whatever, dude. They'd be fucking grinding up their weed real quick to blaze one real quick by this nice view, you know? No, me and Allison were backed up in there blazing one in the truck, straight up, full transparency. And we're trying to blaze, and all of a sudden, we get the windows rolled down, and we hear rustling in the leaves, bro. And there's like hella oak trees and shit throughout there. And all these leaves, they're rustling through these leaves, and it sounds bipedal. It doesn't sound like a cow. There's a lot of free-range cattle up there. It doesn't sound like a cow. It doesn't sound like 4 legs and then multiple of them. It kind of sounds like 2 steps going like, what the fuck was that, you know? And then we're like, nah, it's nothing. We're just tripping. We're just high, you know, right? So we smoke a little more weed, and we still hear it. And then I kind of hear in the distance, bro, I'm not kidding. Allison heard it too. It was, like, it was almost like it was there, but it was almost like in another reality. It was like a parallel reality where we were hearing this and we were smoking the herb, bro, with the natives. No, I don't know, but dude, we got the fuck out of there. I was terrified, bro. Skin and our hair stood up and our skin got bumps on it, the goosebumps and shit.
Oh yeah.
Oh, bro, and we were like, dude, the fuck out of here, dude. And we rolled out quick.
That's wild. How about, dude, talking about, like, burial grounds, did you hear about the, like, during that first flood of those storms we had, those, I think I told you about them, those, gravestones that washed up right there on the, all along the Kings River, remember?
Yeah, but where was the grave, where was the, cemetery?
It's right there, our eucalyptus grove?
Yeah, like at Reedley College on the northwest side of the campus.
There's a bridge right there.
Uh huh.
And I guess, you know that bridge that, like, it's not a bridge, but it's like a little, you know, the water. Like, I guess it's a bridge, but it's made out of concrete.
Yeah, it's Watoki Creek. But I know what you're talking about, but it goes right through the back of the college.
I guess during that storm, all these gravestones washed up. And they're like, apparently, these fucking bridges are made out of recycled gravestones.
What the fuck?
Behind Reedley College, yeah.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, dude. I have pictures of it.
Bro, because I'm literally got pictures of it because we were just there. There's a bunch of what they call riffraff? Riprap? It's not riffraff like the rapper, but it's close to the same. And yeah. I learned that from Louis Long. Shout out to Louis Long out there from Reedley College. He taught us that, but we were talking about it right where you're speaking of at Watoki Creek in the back northwestern quadrant of the Reedley College farm. And like, it's all concrete. You're right, bro. It looks like some old shit right there. It doesn't make sense. Like, they used a bunch of old debris and shit to build that back in the day. Because you can see pipes and shit under the ground, too. It's like, why is this here?
Yeah, we were clearing out those trees that were falling over because of the storm. And, like, sure enough, you could see grave, like, people's names.
But at what point do they take the gravestone, like, out? Like, when they have a mess up? Is it, like, a mess up?
The last time I went, like, they weren't there, you know? So someone, like, took them out for common courtesy or I don't know. But, yeah, crazy. I might have been, like, people who like upgraded their like gravestone, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
They could have shared that and fucking chiseled it down and gave it to the next guy that doesn't even have one. Bro, me and Allison one time, and no, this wasn't when I was with Allison. This was when I was working for UC Kearney. Shout out to Wilson Lab out there. And I was driving around in the fucking company vehicle, baby. And I had to go get those naval orange worm traps so we could trap us some naval orange worm moths out there in them pistachio fields. And I had to go to Traver, California, which ironically was almost the fucking capital of California before Sacramento, before they decided Sacramento was going to be the capital of California. Traver, California was possibly on the top. It was one of the top picks because they would grow hella wheat, not weed with a D, wheat, the grain, and they would grow hella of it out there apparently. And so would they in the Sacramento Valley. So it was like apparently they were competitors at the beginning of this naming everything and claiming everything part of colonizing this side of the country or whatever the fuck. I don't know what the fuck happened. I wasn't there, apparently. Maybe I was in another life, but I wasn't in this one. And long story short, whatever I'm fucking talking about doesn't make sense sometimes, bro. I'm sorry. I don't even know what I was saying right now. But
talk about missed opportunities for Traver.
Oh, yeah. But Traver fucking California was on the map to make it happen to be the capital of California. Now there's nothing there. It's fucking terrifying, like looking, kind of looks like this bodunk ass nothing ever happened to it spot. No offense to Traver, because you could say the same thing about Reedley, I guess, but Traver's like even smaller, big dog. And so it's crazy to me to think about that. But I remember driving out there to Traver and there being this cemetery out there, and like I'm like, yo, this is a trip, what the fuck? It's out here in the middle of nowhere, you know, what the fuck, you know. There's farms all around it. We grow crops right around this cemetery. How weird. And then I was like, I went for a walk out there one time with my wife, though, another time, because we were driving back in those back roads, and we happened to be in that area, and we stopped at it because she wanted to stop at it. And I was like, you got to see these gravestones. So we check out these gravestones. Some of them are hella old, bro. They just have a year. They just have a year. There's no name or nothing. And a lot of them were just white crosses. There was no name, and it was not a pet cemetery. It's like, what are these bodies here then? Like, why are there a bunch of white crosses here with no names, like, or nothing? But there's dead people here. That's why those crosses are here. Yeah. Like, there's no names. What happened here? Is this some KKK shit that they don't know, but they had to put them here? So they, like, found bodies that some fucking crazy-ass dudes from Death Colony were hanging dudes out there in the fields? Who knows? You know, I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
Sketchy shit, bro. And I bet you that fucking place is haunted. If there's ghosts, they're there.
Yeah. Crazy craziness.
Yeah, crazy craziness. Now, ghosts, I don't know. Like, there's I could go on and on. But, like, we're talking about, like, you know, artificial life or extraterrestrial life of some kind. I have my theories. I feel like insects could be, like, extraterrestrial form of life, and they just found life here also. Maybe you could say the same thing about funguses in general, like certain fungi, mushroom type things. They could have been broken off from another planet far, far away as a comet flew by and hit that bitch, and then somehow a piece of that was flying through space and landed and went through Earth's atmosphere and landed on the fucking planet, and somehow it made it through all this shit because it doesn't really need a lot of things, and it decided to grow and it found favor in this place. Now, if it had landed on Mars, and maybe a piece did, and it just burned up because it was too fucking hot, though, those weren't the right conditions. But maybe Earth is one of those many islands amongst the universe that is habitable or is favorable for certain life. And maybe there is certain life of some kind, whether it's plant or animal or what it would be, that could maybe find favor on other planets that we could not inhabit. You know, it's hard to think about it like that, but that's what it could be like. You know, who knows, really, right?
Yeah. I think, just imagine, take a cockroach from Skid Row, take it to Mars. I think in a couple hundred years, it'll look like Abu Dhabi, bro. I think it will. Got some syphilis in there, a Skid Row cockroach. It's got some Doritos in its system.
Yeah, dude, see, you get what I'm saying, bro. Like, insects, bro, they're something else, dude. They know what's up. They can carry shit. Like, dude, it's fucking real. And who knows? Who fucking knows? And I don't want to say that we know. I don't fucking know. But it's fun to ponder. And honestly, if you see something out there, let me know. Because I've seen, like, things in the sky at night that shot by, like, and not like a comet, like a slow-burning ball of fire. But then it, like, went in and out of the atmosphere, almost seeming. It didn't come down to the ground in our sight. What was it? Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe it was just a meteor that no one reported, no one cares about. So it's not trending on TikTok, so you won't actually find evidence of it happening. Like the fake UFO videos you find a ton of. But yeah, like the things that you see that you can't, it happened so fast. You can't pull a camera out. You know what I mean? In that moment. And then also the trickery of the eyes or the brain itself. And that's what leads me to think, what if when we think we see something or we think we hear something, like I was telling the story about the Native American, like, call in the distance. Like, what if that was just in my head, but somehow in another reality that did happen there in that place, just in a different time. And somehow my brain is like an antenna. And that's why humans are pretty smart. We learned how to tap into the fucking internet. So clearly we got an antenna-like brain. We know how to keep touching into deeper and deeper, deeper, deeper ways to communicate beyond the Earth's atmosphere even, which is fucking crazy. That maybe we can pick up on certain things that were in the same place, the same area of the world or whatever, but in a different time frame. I don't fucking know. It's kind of too, like, high-brained to think, maybe, too psychedelic, but in a way, it's plausible, I think, in some weird unprovable way, you know?
Yeah. The brain is crazy, dude. Like, the things that, like, you can see, like, I don't know, just on, like your dreams even, like, it's insane. Like, I think about that a lot too, like dreams. Like, sometimes I have these lucid ass dreams and I'm like, is that another, am I living another life, you know, in my head at night, you know? It's crazy.
Yeah, dude, dreams are a great example of what I'm talking about here. Because, like, you could see something or have some, you know, contact of some kind in your dream. But, like, was it real? Or was it just happening in your mind? But you felt like it was real and you were there, whatever that means. You, without your body, you were there somehow. Mentally, cognitively, but you weren't physically there because you were just laying down. Yeah, what the fuck is that? And how is it not real? And then also, not to say that it is real, but how is it not actually happening? Because it is kind of actually happening, but in your brain only. You know, it's hard to say. Like, when I wake up from a nightmare, I feel like it's really happening, dog. Like, it feels like it's really happening. Like, until you wake up. And even then, you're still like, is this a trick of the brain? And was I really awake right now? Like, you know, you never know, bro. Like, it's kind of like, and then you stay awake for a little bit and you're like, I guess I was asleep. But what if that's just what the brain did to cope with it? Who knows, man? I don't fucking know. I think, though, if you didn't sleep for weeks, you probably start tripping, like they say. So you're supposed to kind of go to sleep and, like, trip every night, kind of like let the brain go into this, like, hallucinatory state for 8 hours. It's fucking crazy to think, because if you don't, you start tripping, like tweakers and shit. They start staying up and setting off their car alarms for days on end and shit. Don't make no sense, bro, you know? Like, they lose control.
Yeah.
But then if you sleep at night, you're losing control, but just enough every night, you know, like you're kind of like, but it's in a different plane. It's in your brain. It's in a dream state of some kind. It's in a dreamland.
Yeah.
And then some people would say the same thing about mushrooms or things like that when people like take a trip. Like, is it real or is it just happening in your brain? Some people speculate that other plane is a very real place.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know.
Yeah. I think one time, like, I've done shrooms before, and the first time I ever did it, like, it was not very visual, but I just remember one point, I just, like, looked at my friend, and he was like, I was like, dude, like, you have fish scales on your face, dude. Like, you got fish scales. You look like a fish right now. But, you know, is it real, or it's just all in your head, you know? Or is he really fish scales? And, dude, like, you just tapped into this dimension where you're like, damn, you're really fish scales.
Do you still think that maybe he has fish scales and you're just the way you see it?
Yeah, dude. I think he's a lizard.
Like, and then now they're just... and the way that you see it, though, is just warped because it's the only way you can cope. But really, he's a lizard?
Dude. It's funny.
Nah, bro, I swear, because, like, I know what you mean, big dog. There's a lot of trippy shit that goes on between the brain and its chemicals and its... foods and its nutrients and its lack of water or what is in the water or contaminants, you know. I'm not going to get into it, but I told a story on this podcast, episode number 18, about when I went to jail and I got in trouble all because of this little chemical that we put into water, like kind of like how people take a tab of acid or something. It's such a little amount of this acid on a piece of paper, but it changed your world, man. And it could fucking ruin your life, perhaps, in the modern time. Because it's not acid. It's fucking some other weird chemicals most of the time. Some weird shit just makes your brain fry, dog. You know? Yeah. And when you get into those scenarios and then you realize, oh, gosh, how fast everything can just change. And you could die based off of a small amount of, like, this powdery substance put into a lot of water. Like, yeah. Contamination is what I'm saying. Like, in general, like, if some large amount of body of water just had a little bit of a heavy metal in it, it could become very toxic to the entire populace that, like, utilizes that water. Like, it's a very delicate thing, and we're fucking with fucked up shit in the modern time, and we're not treating it like it's very delicate. And so, to tie it all back together, I feel like, hopefully, when you're out there fighting wildland fire and you're hanging with your crew and you're learning how to be a man and all this shit, you know, hopefully you can learn your place in the ecosystem and in the bigger picture and be a good steward for us, bro, because we need someone to take care of this shit.
I'll take care of you, bro.
That's what's up.
Hello, everybody. This is Tyler Colombaro, the host of the Symbiosis Now podcast, as well as the host of the Cali Ag podcast, which is new. It is launching. It's ready for you to hear. Here's a little intro clip to get you enticed. I hope you can go check it out on Spotify and all the platforms out there. Check it out. Welcome to the Cali Ag podcast. I'm Tyler Colombaro, and I'm the host of this podcast. This podcast will ultimately be an exploration into all aspects of California agriculture, from the crops, to the land, to the water. Listener, if you were not aware, the state of California provides an unquantifiable amount of produce to the world. We will feature guests on each episode that work and lead the agricultural trajectory and symbiosis within the state of California. So listener, join us. Tell your friends and tell a farmer about the Cali Ag podcast.
What are you trying to make of this life is what I'm saying.
Yeah, good point. I don't really know sometimes. I feel like I think about like what I'm trying to do and why I'm doing what I'm doing, and most of the time it's become to like better my mental health situation and like take care of business at the same time. But sometimes I forget, like, you know, what I'm trying to do, because, you know, you start doing this and you do this and you do like five different things at the same time daily, you know, like I go to multiple jobs and I have multiple little side hustles and gigs and podcasts and this and that. And it's a lot to keep up with, but I feel like I'm supposed to just do a lot of meticulous small things that add up to the bigger picture. I don't think that I'm supposed to become famous or be like, you know, some great figure in this field or that field, or I think I'm just an average fucking Joe, man. I always have been and I always fucking will be. And like, so I don't know. I like to just kind of focus on the little contributions that I can give back to the society I live in, to the earth I live on, and do the best I can to do the little things that make a big difference in the long run. Even if that means like trying to not buy as much bottled water or fucking cans and certain shit on my own, in my own life, like, you know, just to make a small impact. I don't buy fucking Coca-Cola products. That's my silent protests, right? Like, I don't fuck with Coca-Cola, you pieces of shit. So I'm never going to buy any of your shit, even though I probably buy some other shit that's subsidized by you or somehow is under the same blanket fucking company or some shit somehow deep down the line. But like, I do those little things that I feel like make a contribution in the end. And yeah. I think that if we all kind of did that in our own way, we'd be pretty good off. But the times that we're living in, sometimes, like, fuck all that. You got to work. You got to make fucking money. And you got to pay your goddamn taxes. And if not, we'll come after you. You know what I mean? That's what the world we live in now. So it's like a lot of us can't ignore it. It's kind of become that lately with how expensive things do get. After a while, it's like, yo, there's a point where a lot of people can't do this anymore. It's like not even plausible for like the lower class to even do this anymore, you know? And what do we do? Then do we just other them and say we need to get rid of them? Like, what's the next stage of this? Where are we going with this shit? You know, we already other the homeless, like they and them and the homeless. And it's like, yo, dude, those are humans that like lost their way, dude. They're not just fucking total idiot losers and there's just millions of them. They're all just idiot losers, couldn't get a job. Like, it's like, no, I think there's a lot of pitfalls in our society that cause this kind of scenario. And if we all did a little better, we gave a little back, we listened to someone fucking talk every once in a while, we'd probably be all right. But most of us are just cutthroat business only. I'm only here to work. I'm not here to fucking talk to you like and actually care. You know what I mean? Like, that's a fucked up part of our world now, and it's kind of ugly. And I think it's the majority, not the minority like it used to be, or the few old guys that are just saying, like, pick yourself up by your bootstraps type of bullshit. Like, everyone's just stressed out, hustling as best they can, and there's not enough help in the fucking world to actually make it feasible anymore, you know? A lot of people, it's like you're working just to pay for the place that you never at anyways. You know, you're always gone at your job making money to pay for the place you go home and sleep at, and then you go back to the job that you're more at your job than you are at fucking home, you know? And like, that's the world we live in. And I think that it's not necessarily a bad thing if you're filling a niche and daily you're just like contributing to society in whatever way, or contributing to the goal you're after or whatever. That's what's up. That seems like motivation and dedication and commitment and all these things tied into one. But it also seems like a lot of busy work, a lot of fucking hustle and bustle for not enough pay. You know, this is the shit that started revolutions for fucking centuries. This is the shit that made people fucking purposely burn civilizations to the ground because they didn't want to fucking do it anymore. You know, they stressed the peasants out way too much and said, basically, now you guys don't even get water. You don't get garlic. You don't get grain. You don't get shit. And then they're like, excuse me? We'll all fuck you up. There's way more of us than you. And they would. You know, this is the kind of shit that happens, though. But when you disarm them and you put them all in jail, or you fucking murder them all like in Tiananmen Square in China back in the 80s, like, that's what we're up against. Like, even in 2020, bro, the way that they were using, like, riot control tactics against our own people domestically, it's fucking wild to see that in 2020, you know, like, it, and that's very prevalent now. You act out of line and you disagree with what the system and the machine said goes, then you'll feel the wrath of the federal government. You'll feel the wrath of your own fucking neighbor now at the county or city level that has riot control gear and fucking spray paint, fucking, paintball, pepper spray paintball guns and all this crazy shit to fuck you up. And you just said you don't want to do this, and you were standing out there, and now it became this huge fucking spectacle. Like, that's the shit we're up against in this world, man. And so, like, a lot of people don't like to step out of line. A lot of people just be like, fuck, I guess I just got to work and eat shit, you know? And I think that that's so ugly, you know? In a way, you could say the hustle and this pressure creates beautiful artists and beautiful strength within humanity, but clearly it's been making people depressed, hang themselves in their fucking garage, do crazy shit, you know, lose their mind.
Mental health is, like, so, like, prevalent now. It's on. I feel like it's on the table now. People are talking about it. I'm glad it's becoming a real issue that people are, like, caring about, you know?
Yeah, me too. Because I know, like, over the last 10 years, it was pretty rough for me, and I feel like no one gave a fuck, bro. No one would listen. No one wanted to talk about it. It was like it didn't happen to nobody but you, and it was very hard to deal with, you know?
Yeah, and that's that old, like, the old ways where it's like, you know, like you said, you pull your bootstraps up and you got to get after it still. Like, you don't got time to feel sorry for yourself. But at the end of the day, if your mental health isn't right, then, like, nothing's right, you know?
But, bro, thank you so much for coming on, Big Diggity Dog, with your Big Diggity journey ahead of you and your Big Diggity Diggity character building and your Big Diggity dick swinging between them fucking buff quadriceps, bro, because you be out there climbing mountains and shit. But dude, I'm super proud of you. I'm super happy for you. I can't wait to fucking hear about it after the journey, but I hope that, like, you know, you have a good journey off and meeting your crew and bonding and all this shit and learn a lot of shit and come back safe to us, though, bro. That's what I'm hoping, you know.
Yeah, and I'm excited to fucking grow this friendship, man. You gotta come out and visit with your girl and your baby.
I'm down.
Yeah, dude. But yeah,
I'm excited. Thanks, bro. Hell yeah, dude. No, for sure. And stay safe, man. Think of me when you see aliens or you see something fly by in the sky and you're like, yo, I'm definitely telling him. You got to document it or something. Even if you're drunk or something and you didn't realize that it actually didn't, you don't know if it actually happened, but write it down, bro. Tell me later. I'll believe you. No, no, stupid. No, but yeah, dude. And then I'll give you some stickers, bro, before you get out there so you can slap them on some shit. You got gear and
slap
shit.
Them on
yeah.
Helmet, huh?
Yeah. Let the people know. This podcast was created by the Symbiosis Now Network and can be found on Instagram for clips, highlights, videos, blah, 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 at symbiosis.now.network. And you can listen to the Symbiosis Now podcast as well as the Cali Ag podcast on Spotify, Apple, and all the platforms. Listener, be sure to tell your friends about the Symbiosis Now Network.